MoneyInTheBank.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
I'm Sonny Kidd, but I love.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is your favorite knockout, Tara.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
This is WWE Superstar, the Miz.
The greatest man that ever lived, always liked the good rap. And you're listening to the greatest rap.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Coming down the aisle will be the former champion, and you'll hear his music.
Did someone not get what they wanted? Oh, that's too bad.
Where is your savior? Surprise, surprise, he ain't here for you. But you know who is? I am. I am here for you just like I have been every day since I have been around.
With your host,
Dear Kitty, Kitty,
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker, 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 Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
All you have to do is believe.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. That's right. It's Thursday. And we are back. We have tons of stuff to get into tonight. But before we do that, well, I'm Lindsay. He's Rock. He's the, you know, ever-present handyman. I'm sometimes the host.
You were always the host of the show.
Yeah, well, yeah, I guess.
You guess. She guesses, I guess. She guesses she hosts the show.
But yeah, we have news. We have lots of news. I'm just so sorry in advance.
Hey, last week we had like 3 stories.
Yeah, last week we did have 3 stories. True.
This week we have some interesting stories and one really, really, really interesting story. Depending on what you find really, really interesting. There's one I find really, really interesting, and it's not the one everyone else thinks we're going to be talking about.
Yeah. We've got SmackDown. We're going to be talking all about NXT Rival. Arrival? NXT Rival?
NXT TakeOver Rival.
Okay. NXT TakeOver Rival. Trying to get used to their, you know, whole system. But, yeah, we're going to be talking about that, SmackDown, and so much more. And now I say we jump right into the news brought to you by our friends over at PWMania.com. Go there for all your news needs. And, well, we've got to talk to really the biggest about what are the biggest stories of the week. No pun intended at all. Oh, God. Poor Seth Rollins.
I'm going to let you handle this one.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for letting me handle it. Between the two of us, one of us should be the expert at handling it.
Oh. Just go.
All joking aside, in complete seriousness.
Yes.
We're going to talk a little bit about Seth Rollins, just kind of fill everybody in case you live under a rock and you didn't know what happened Monday night.
Something was showing at stick, anyway.
It seems that Seth Rollins has been the victim of a rather maliciously intended prank slash payback by his, I would guess, ex-girlfriend now, ex-fiancé now. We won't say her name due to respect to her, but basically what happened is Monday night, a rather mysterious picture of a nude Developmental Diva showed up on Seth Rollins' social media accounts. That includes Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
WWE.com.
WWE.com. And everybody was kind of unsure, hey, did he get hacked? That's what WWE thought. And then, well, that was right before Raw. And during Raw, when Seth happened to show up on television, well, a nude picture of him, actually two nude pictures of him, with everything out in the open, turned up on Twitter on his girlfriend's account, with, you know, sent out to millions of WWE viewers everywhere. And it seems that, well, there's some not so good stuff going on between Seth and the developmental diva. It's not confirmed whether they were sleeping together, whether they were just sending nude pictures to each other. Nobody's really sure. But it seems that Seth's fiance had found out, decided to have enough, and got a little payback on him by tweeting out the pictures of him and her, respectively.
Yeah.
She did them both, and she timed it so it would go out during Raw, which is both awful and awesome. I actually kind of respect her for that, but think it was a horrible thing to do if you're allowed to say such a thing. Like, I respect that level of deviousness. I really honestly do. That was well done.
I went to E's website. No, you're no good, E. It's blurred out, but there's the picture. Okay, then.
Okay, well, will you stop trying to avoid the picture now? He's been trying to avoid the picture.
I've been trying to avoid the picture.
So he's now seen most of the picture. But anyway, so, terrible.
Just not it.
Just not it.
All right, the reason I went there is because she said, and I quote, "I definitely did. Ha, 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 ha."
Yeah. Basically, somebody called her out on Twitter and said, oh, no, that's not her. She never uses Twitter. She didn't post that. And she's like, I definitely did. Ha, 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 ha. She's bragging about it on Facebook with a friend. Where basically, I guess she checked his phone or she checked his emails or she checked something of his and found out that this was going on and decided to get a little payback on him. Nobody really knows for sure what happened beyond the fact that the pictures went out. WWE scrambled on Monday to get them down, which they did, and then Rollins sent out a tweet on Tuesday basically apologizing to everyone for the pictures. And that's really not the interesting thing side of this.
We should also mention that Triple H made mention to it on the conference call the other day. Basically said it's a family matter for Seth Rollins, and that's basically it, and he apologized for it.
Yeah. The relieving thing about this story is that on at least a business side of things, for Rollins and for the developmental diva, who again we're not going to say her name, just as respect to her.
If you Google Seth Rollins, you can find out who she is.
Yeah, if you Google Seth Rollins, you can find out who she is. But
you can also read some interesting headlines as well.
Yeah, very entertaining. But the relief of this is that there is no heat on Seth Rollins. There is no heat on the developmental diva at this point. They were both obviously the victims in this, even though, well, it's kind of their own fault.
It is and it isn't.
It is and it isn't.
They didn't put it out there, but they did stuff.
They didn't put it out there, but they did stuff. I'm not condoning cheating, but here's the thing. Rollins took those pictures with the intent that they were never supposed to go public. The girl took those pictures with the intent that they were never to go public and for them to be distributed without their consent. That doesn't make doing that any more right just because he cheated on you.
Right.
Like, if he cheated on you, break up with him, leave him, put his stuff out in the front yard, whatever. You know, you handle that. You don't blast that out on social media for God and everyone to see.
Right.
You know, especially in the position that Rollins is, where he's seen by millions of people, and you tweet that out on Twitter. Yeah, that's no bueno.
She was risking a lot of things, because, you know, they're engaged, as Seth Rollins talked about, like he wants to do when he has a day off, is be with his fiance.
Well.
Maybe that's why he doesn't have many days off. But she, because they were said to be married, and, you know, if they were married, this would be, it'd be worse that she did it, but there's a lot of stake because he would be the breadwinner in the family, and at some point she would benefit from it. And doing this hurts him in the long run too. I understand you're upset, but it's like, send that to him privately. Saying, I caught you doing this. Have him fess up. Don't blast his crap on the air, man. It's stupid. It's petty. It's like, now he has to apologize. He put his company in bad eye, like they need it at this point. It's just...
Yeah, it's...
It's very frustrating.
It's just, yeah, there are other ways to get back at him than for what she did. I mean, and honestly, it shouldn't even be about getting back at him. It should be, you know, you handle this like an adult and you move forward. I know nobody wants to do that, but like I said, blasting people's nude pictures out doesn't justify what he did, and it doesn't make you a better person. Sometimes you have to be the bigger person and move forward.
Right. I don't agree with that.
So, very unfortunate situation, but like I said, the good thing coming out of this is that there is no heat on Rollins. He's probably going to see a little bit of a fine, but that's just speculation.
That's corporate, so.
Yeah, that's corporate because there are certain policies in place that say, you know, you can't do XYZ as a talent. So, we'll see if he does.
And hopefully there's no one out there that are going to try to capitalize on this situation.
Yes. That's the other thing. If you have those pictures, if you took them down off the internet before they got pulled, please stop distributing them. Please stop passing them around. Please stop retweeting them, reposting them, whatever. Please, please, please take them down.
If you want to keep them, but keep them in your own private, you know.
Folder. Yeah, I have nothing against people taking them and keeping them on their own private hard drive, but reposting them, like going, oh my god, here's Seth Rollins naked, holy crap, doesn't help the situation any.
As we were talking about Seth Rollins and his thing, 50 Shades of Grey commercial appeared on TV.
Oh, god.
Now they're corrupting Legos too, it's like, no, please stop, no.
No, they're corrupting middle schoolers with it.
That too. Please stop.
Yes, please, please, the other thing, with 50 Shades of Grey, please stop. Okay, thanks. And, well, tying into the Seth Rollins story.
I want to see how you do a tie-in.
WWE Countdown had a little bit of a snafu this past week where, well, Seth Rollins was on there and he made a comment about The Godfather, I believe, where he said, yeah, one ho just wouldn't be enough. And, well, wouldn't you know it? When the unfortunate situation of the new pictures happened and basically everybody found out that Rollins was cheating, or presumably cheating, that, WWE pulled Countdown that week, or this week, because, well, of the whole comment.
Yeah.
It seems just a little insensitive.
So, I watched it on Tuesday night, not live, but on demand, because it was, you know, still available at that point. And... Well, they decided the next day, because I saw a bunch of people go, where's the countdown? Because one has Kane all over it, talking about his old, there's a spot where they were, it's all about odd jobs in WWE. They had the dumpster and all that stuff. But Kane was, you know, Isaac Yankel. And so Kane's on there, and I was like, I told Lindsay she watched it, and she couldn't find it, and a lot of people couldn't find it. And I went to ask WWE Network, and it's like, yeah, it's temporary pulled. It won't be up till the 14th again. Oh. Okay. It's like, they don't usually do that. And my gut tells me the comment about Seth Rollins and hoes may not make the next cut.
Yeah. I'm with you there. I have that funny feeling that the reason they pulled it was, well, gotta take out the whole comment. Just, it's gotta come out.
It's supposedly, back on, at least according to the thing I was just reading, which we're gonna double check as we talk, supposedly on the on-demand section now. It'll be back on the live feed on the 14th, but supposedly it was supposed to be back on the on-demand section as of today, but we're not sure about that.
Yeah, we'll have to look into that. And, well, another tie-in, because we didn't talk about it Monday night, we forgot to talk about it Monday night, was, well, Rikishi going into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, we touched on it, but we wanted to save the real discussion for the show. Yeah, he's in the Hall of Fame. Surprise, but not. I mean, on a long list of people who you would expect to be in the Hall of Fame, he wasn't one of them. But that's maybe just me.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I'm not trying to knock Rikishi. It's just, it's, when you think of the very, very, very long list of people that deserve to be in the Hall of Fame, there are plenty of others that I can think that could go in before Rikishi. I guess because they're going to be in San Fran this year, they want the local tie-in, and that's the local tie-in. I don't know. But it's just, it's an odd choice to me. I don't know. What do you think?
That's what I'm saying. It doesn't feel like it's the right choice. There's a lot of people who probably should have been ahead of him on it. It's like, as a whole, Rikishi Fatu had a career. And you would assume that he would deserve to be in the Hall of Fame, but they're so focusing on Rikishi. And like, you hear accomplishments, but what did Rikishi accomplish other than the stink face? And to me, it's like, well, as a whole, Rikishi, like, he did it for The Rock, he did it for the people, but did he really do anything?
I mean, he was a tag champion, he was an IC champion.
But there was no great five-star classic. His famous wrestling moment is when he fell off the cage.
Into a dump truck full of wood chips.
And hey, yeah, so it was like, to me, on a list of Hall of Famers, he wasn't up there, but Rikishi went in Too Cool, that was awesome. But it wasn't Hall of Fame worthy. If you add up him being in other tag teams and stuff like that, I can make a better case, but he would be far down on the list. But that's just me.
That is just me. So, I don't know.
But Rikishi's going in and probably be inducted by the Usos. So there's that.
And that's the other side of it. Like, the Usos are on Raw. They have this tag team match. They lose! And then they announce Rikishi's going in the Hall of Fame. Like, what the hell? You can't have them win?
Nope. No, they're the tag team champion, so they gotta lose.
Okay. Alright.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know either, but congratulations to Rikishi. We're not trying to belittle him at all, or the decision is just, it's an awkward decision to me, weird decision, but congratulations to him. I know he's super proud, I know his family's super proud.
That's a great honor, and one day he probably deserved to go in as a guy, but I don't know if this year, like, he was as surprising as Booker T, but Booker T had a resume.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Booker T, between Rikishi and Booker T...
Has the resume
to be a Hall of Famer by far over Rikishi. I mean, just, yeah, and that's why I say, it's like, I'm not saying he's not deserving of it, I'm just saying that there are a lot of people that I would have expected to go in before him.
Right.
That's the thing. It's a very odd but surprising choice. So, congratulations to him. But you've been talking a lot about this conference call.
Yeah, alright. So,
and I know you want to talk about it, so we're going to get to it.
I like how you go to it when I was trying to see if the Seth Rollins comment was up there. The network, thanks back on the network, by the way. Just for everyone's peace of mind. So, WWE had a conference call, couple conference calls. We're going to get to one of them right now. Earlier today, WWE had their annual you know, quarterly conference call. And first, the WWE Network is doing pretty well right now. It's had 1.4 million unique subscribers, not all active. They're about the 1 million mark right now. 70% of the people who signed up in November paid through are still paid subscribers in January, which is great. It means the free promotion worked, which is why they're doing the new one right now. We have other network news here in a minute, but first, there's this comment. A caller asked Vince McMahon about the Twitter controversy for Cancel WWE Network.
The Twitter controversy for hashtag Cancel WWE Network, and whether that was good for WWE and that it spreads word about the network or bad that people listen to quote-unquote superfans. Vince said it's good for WWE. Vince said the vocal minority didn't like the creative. Santa Claus didn't come for the pay-per-view, so that's really what that was for them. And McMahon added that, you know, people who vent when the babyface doesn't win and say they will never come back are usually back the next week.
Yes, they are. Sorry about that. You know, coughing. Always good.
All good.
Always good for the live right now when you start to cough. It's like, you feel it coming on, like, fuck. Anyway. Yeah. Thank you, Vince McMahon, for setting things straight. People who overreact always come back. I'm gonna riot. I'm gonna protest. I'm never watching Raw. Monday night. Hey, Monday Night Raw's on. Let's watch Raw.
Yeah, here's the thing. For everybody that complains and whines and bemoans Raw, they know who comes back and who doesn't.
Yeah, and everybody comes back.
Eventually everybody comes back. I stopped watching for like 2 or 3 years, and then eventually I came back. So it's something of, they know that.
Everyone comes back.
Eventually they will pull you back in with something, and they just keep going like they're going. And they'll, you know, for the people that walk away, they'll come back. They know that. So, you know, Vince is obviously not too concerned.
And he shouldn't be. What he should be concerned about if the rating for Monday Night holds up and it was a bad rating. If it's a bad rating again, then you got problems because that's bad booking. Not this whole controversy. But it's like, again, controversy is good for them, for this network, Cancel WWE Network. It gained more subscribers than lost, which is awesome.
I think that's hilarious.
It is. It really is. It's hilarious when they gain more people when controversy starts out. You always can't get what you want. And Vince McMahon's right. Sometimes he should give us what we want, but sometimes it's like, maybe we know better than you. Maybe, just maybe, we know better than you. And, you know, to their credit, they may know better than us right now. Sort of. We'll get to the other part of that later in the show.
Yeah, we're going to talk about what's going on right now with the WrestleMania main event and the rumors going on a little bit later in the show.
Yeah.
But, you know, I would say 9 times out of 10, they do know better than us because book the product every day.
It's their job. They have people who are on the pulse of things, whether we want to believe it or not.
Here's the thing. You have people that have years and years and years and years and years of wrestling knowledge versus someone who just started watching yesterday and thinks they know everything about the business. The fact of the matter is that fans, we don't know everything about the business. No, we know who we like. We know who we don't like. And there are certain aspects of it that we can pick up on. And there's, you know, logic does come into play in wrestling in terms of, well, okay, you're telling this story, so it should do this, this, and this, and this. And when that logic doesn't happen, that's when people get pissed. Or, you know, in the current situation, Dan O'Brien gets tossed out of the Rumble early.
Right.
That is what pissed a lot of people off. And then Bray Wyatt and Dolph Ziggler and Dean Ambrose getting dumped later. So, but yeah, that's pretty much what everybody was like. Bryan didn't win the Rumble. Everybody wanted Bryan to win the Rumble. When last year everybody was complaining, well, since Bryan wasn't in the Rumble and we can't complain that Bryan didn't win the Rumble, we're going to complain that Roman Reigns didn't win the Rumble.
Right. Exactly.
And when that happened, a light bulb went off in their heads in WWE of, oh, hey, Roman Reigns is over.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason everybody was complaining about Roman Reigns not winning was because they didn't want Batista.
Right.
That's the thing. So this is the result of last year where they think Roman is over. And everybody, you know, it's like they've been pointing Roman at this for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much since the Shield split. So it's like you're going to complain about something that we all knew was coming.
Right.
That's the thing.
But that's what, you know, people do.
But yeah, and they're aware of that, and they pay closer attention to us than you think they do.
Right.
That's the thing.
Yeah, they pay close attention. But it was very funny reading his comment about it. I was like, yeah, okay, you're right, Vince. You're actually right about this, for once.
Yep.
A couple network things. It's gonna be launching all over Canada on different providers in March, which is awesome.
Yay.
Is going to be available in the Middle East in March as well, for WrestleMania season. So more and more homes will be having the availability of the WWE Network here in March, which is good. There are some new places in Canada that can get it now, which is good. So, hey, everyone in Canada, get the network, subscribe. It's kind of worth the money.
It is kind of worth the money.
Just pointing them out. So that's good news for them.
That is good news.
They put out a whole press release today, and it's good news for them. So that's a little news and notes for the network.
Yes, and a couple other news and notes for NXT, because we're speaking about the network, and we're talking about NXT TakeOver here in a few minutes. Basically, quick note, NXT has added a second live event for their tour of Ohio.
They're heading to Cleveland this time. Before they're going to be doing one show, I think it's Columbus.
Yeah, they're going to Columbus. They're doing a show for Triple H's induction into a Hall of Fame up there, and he's taking his babies with him. Yep. And he's going to show them off.
They're doing a show in Columbus. They're doing a show in Cleveland, and then they're going to be doing exhibition during the Arnold Classic on Sunday.
Yeah, so they're doing a mini test run of NXT on the road to see how it goes. Apparently, Columbus sold very well
and fast.
And that gave them the inclination of, hey, let's open a show in Cleveland and see what happens. And this is sort of leading to the next topic, which is that NXT may be transitioning to a nationwide tour, at least, or a localized nationwide tour, should say.
They want to get the guys and girls out on the road by the end of 2015 and have them working every weekend, because he puts it like they're AAA. So, you know, AAA baseball team, they go out on the road, they do everything like the pros do. So to get his crew out on the road more often, it will prepare them for the travel and everything before going up to the main roster, so they're kind of aware. And so you need to get to this hotel this time, you gotta do this and this and this and this and this and this and this by being out on the road. And how they do things.
Yeah, and we should add that NXT does travel now, but they travel locally around Florida. And they don't go very far around Florida.
They do Orlando, and they do St. Petersburg or whatever. They do little spot shows in Tampa and whatever.
Yeah, they stay within probably the central to more southern portion of Florida region. But this will be a good experience for them to take them out on the road and have them learn about basically what the pros do and see what the life is like, because the life is the ultimate test. Some people can handle it, some people can't. And it's going to be a good litmus test to see who can.
Because Hunter put it out on the conference call he did on Tuesday, basically saying the way people learn is by wrestling in front of a crowd. And mm-hmm. you have to wrestle in front of different crowds to get a true understanding of what's going on. Because you wrestle in front of the same crowd all the time, and you'll get the same reaction. But you gotta go in front of different crowds to see different reactions, see how they respond to different things. And that may help, because for a while it's just the one crowd, one general crowd, and it's like, well, we get some opinion, but is it working all over? And that's where some talents had struggles at first when moving up to the main roster.
Yeah, and this is a good gauge for them as well, because by putting them in front of different audiences, they can also tell who's over and who's not.
Right.
Because again, you know, they can be super over in NXT and then they come out to the main roster and they sort of fizzle out because, well, yeah, the NXT crowd liked them, but...
Who else liked them?
Yeah, who else likes them, so...
It's going to be a true test to see where they go. But it's cool, they're going out on the road more often, and apparently there's some interest in bought shows, so, you know, arenas want the shows, like Casino or whatever, so they won't have to worry about selling tickets. It's up to the the building, and it may more money for the company.
That's always a good thing. They're always looking for revenue streams. I hope they come here.
Be cool.
It would be cool.
And it's easier for them to get up to Georgia because, you know, probably you can take a bus up to Georgia.
Yeah. I'm so on board for this. So completely on board for this.
All right, and one other NXT little note. Alex Riley is transitioning, and, well, read the spoilers for NXT, and you'll see how he's transitioning back into the ring.
Not sure how I feel about this.
Okay, here's the thing about Alex Riley. He's a good talker. He'd be a great manager. That being said, when you talk about wrestlers down in NXT, Lindsay, they're all trying to gain spots on the main roster, correct? That would be the goal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Name five people in NXT. Men. Name five men in NXT.
Oh, now you're just getting picky.
No, yeah, name five men.
Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, Aiden English, Simon Gotch.
Alright.
Adrian Neville.
Adrian Neville, I'll break it down either. Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, Adrian Neville, Tyler Breeze, Finn Balor, Hideo Itami. There's six names right there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Aren't they more over than Alex Riley?
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think all six of them are going to get up to the main roster again before Alex Riley?
Mm-hmm.
Alex, you should have stuck in commentary. Love you, dude, but you should have stuck in your role. Because there's six guys and then some trying to get roster spots, and there's probably only like two spots to get.
Okay, but here's the thing. To be fair to Riley, Riley was over. When he came out of NXT, or when he came out of the Nexus, I should say. NXT?
NXT, not Nexus.
He wasn't a part of the Nexus.
He was with The Miz.
He was with The Miz. But I'm trying to remember what season of NXT he was.
Two or three.
Was he with Husky?
May have been.
Okay.
It's either two or three. I'm not exactly sure.
Yeah. It's two or three. He wasn't the original season.
They were the Nexus.
They were the Nexus. And he gave us Daniel Bryan.
Yes.
But Riley was actually doing a pretty good job of getting over.
4 years ago.
Four years ago, and then something happened where either he pissed somebody off or somebody got pissed at him, whatever, and squashed his career. But that talent is still there. That ability is still there. And I think if they actually get serious and they push him and they really try, they could get him over again. But that being said, I'm with you. I think at this point in his career, he would be a better manager.
He'd be a great mouthpiece for someone, a great hype man, because he was good with The Miz.
Oh, he was great with The Miz.
He would be a great hype man who would wrestle occasionally, but as a singles wrestler, Alex Riley is not going to get the opportunities for Alex Riley on the main roster. If that's his goal, or if his goal is just to be a part of NXT, that's great. He'll be a great addition. But if his goal is to be on the main roster as a single star, there are six spot guys ahead of you, if not more, plus all the guys on the main roster.
Yeah, I agree with that.
If you want to be Zack Ryder, go be Zack Ryder. I'm just throwing it out there.
I don't even think Zack Ryder wants to be Zack Ryder.
But that's where he could end up career-wise.
It's better than where he's at now.
I thought he had a guaranteed role in the Raw pre-show and commentary.
Well, I thought he did too, but
apparently he wanted a new challenge, and I don't blame him for what he's doing. It's great, but
oh yeah, it's wonderful. It's just,
I think it's a mistake. Unless his goal is to get back in shape, go back out and leave the company at some point, because it could be he wanted to go out and be a wrestler, and that's what he grew up to do. He wanted to become a wrestler after football or whatever. It's great, but I don't know. I think it's a mistake career wise. There's just a pecking order ahead of him. That's the biggest. To me, that's how I see things. He's so far down on the pecking order that it's going to be a struggle for him.
Yeah. We'll see how he does, so best of luck to him. Speaking of good luck and, well, taking on a new challenge. This was going to be our top story. No, not really. Really kind of wasn't. But it has come to our attention through Rock's diligent searches of the internet.
Facebook.
That, well, Kane, a.k.a. Glenn Jacobs, is doing a fundraiser. You can go to www.firstgiving.com/fundraiser/GlennJacobs/01. You can donate. He is going to be doing a Dancing of the Stars type competition with his wife. Video or it didn't happen. Somebody go get it. And it's all for a good cause, to raise money for a local children's hospital. So
what?
So everybody, please go donate. Go support him because he's trying to launch his career in ballet.
My only response is... I want video of this.
So he's going to set off his pyro with his hips instead of his arms?
Yes. Yes, he is. But yeah, go out and support Kane. He needs all the support he can get on this. But yeah, video or it didn't happen.
And if you leave a comment, be nice.
That too.
Just saying.
Just saying.
Also, speaking of being nice and, well, improving, because that's the best tie-in I've got. And we forgot to talk about it last week because, well, it broke on Friday. DDP has been in the hospital. Poor guy.
Yeah.
In intensive care.
He's out of intensive care.
Yay.
He had successful throat surgery on Wednesday.
Yay.
He had, you know, issues with, you know, polyps and things building up in his throat where he could, you know, had trouble breathing. It's just disgusting. But he had successful surgery. He was even back on Monday doing DDP yoga. He couldn't lead the class, but he was doing it with the class. He's been told not to speak for a while.
That will be hard for him to do.
Right, I know. It's the hardest thing he's probably ever gone through is not speaking. Basically, he put it out basically saying he's been working a lot, and this is his body telling him, slow down.
Yep.
He's 59 years old. He needs to slow down a little bit.
Yeah, he does. So glad he's doing better, that he's feeling better, and that he's out of intensive care, because that was scary for a little bit.
Yeah, that was, yeah. When you can't breathe, you go to ICU. That's kind of scary, yeah.
Yeah, just a little bit.
A little bit of a scare, yeah.
So, yeah. And speaking of scares, DDP isn't the only one that's suffering, because it seems, well, John Cena has an eye injury?
They're mentioning one on TV that he has an injury on his eye. It's actually legit. It's a little blown up on television, but if you notice his eye the last couple of weeks, it's kind mm-hmm. of, it's been kind of messed up. He's suffering some sort of eye injury right now, so hopefully he recovers from that. He's apparently wrestling on the tour, but he's been having trouble with the eye for a couple of weeks now. So, hope he gets better.
Poor guy, yeah. So, feel better, John Cena. You gotta get better, because, well, WrestleMania is coming!
By the way, before we go to break, because I know we're getting close to going to break, because we're out of news.
Yeah.
I know we're going to talk about it more next week, but I get this feeling, what you going to do, brother, and John Cena are going to team up against a Russian or Bulgarian at WrestleMania. Just call it a hunch.
I hope not.
Just call it a hunch.
I seriously hope not.
That's my theory. Anyway.
Anyway, so as he said, let's take our first break of the evening, and when we come back, we're going to be talking all about last night's exciting NXT TakeOver Rival. Who won, who went home a champion, and, well, what surprises happened, because there were some. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
For the latest in all things TNA Wrestling? Then look no further than TNAsylum.com. TNA Asylum keeps you up to date on all the happenings in TNA Wrestling, along with featured columns, full coverage of TNA-related events, and first look on the behind-the-scenes events of TNA that you can't find anywhere else. Log on right now to the haven for TNA fans, TNAsylum.com.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air. Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Looking for one of the most popular stop-motion animation wrestling shows on the internet today? Then check out Crash Collision Wrestling, created by the one and only Matt Goldberg. He's the director of Terrified and Pope Against All Odds. CCW is a stop-motion animation series featuring WWE and TNA stars, and it also happens to be endorsed by the likes of Elijah Burr, Hulk Hogan, and TNA Knockout Tara.
This is Tara from Impact Wrestling, and for the number one animated wrestling show, make sure you check out Crash Collision Wrestling, or else get slammed by moi.
Check out the show by logging on to youtube.com/mbg1211, and don't forget to like Crash Collision Wrestling on Facebook. Once again, check out Crash Collision Wrestling today.
Because everybody knows, much like Pope, CCW, it's pimping.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Do you feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you, in the form of The Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with The Rack Extra. Weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply dabomb.com.
This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins, and you are listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
And And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. And now we're talking about NXT TakeOver Rival. And oh my whole crap, what a show this was.
This was a hell of a show. From top to bottom, there's a little bit of stuff that went, eh? But the main events... plural? Yeah. Do we want to start at the beginning, or do we want to talk about the main matches we enjoyed first, and then get into everything else?
Let's get the not so great matches out of the way.
Yeah. Well, what was an actual great match? Opened up the show. It was a good match that opened the show. It was the AOA Tommy and Tyler Breeze. I enjoyed this one. Hideo looked more like. He should. He felt looked a little bit more confident. Not fully there, but he looked a little bit more confident.
He did, and Tyler's really been stepping it up when they put him in the ring with Hideo. He had another match with him a couple weeks ago that was absolutely fantastic. And last night was no exception.
They worked over Hideo's knee a lot in the match. Which was the story. He did a nice figure four around the ring post and then like a modified figure four sharpshooter type thing, which was nice.
Yeah.
Even call it cloverleaf or modified cloverleaf, something or other, but it was really, really nice. They worked well together. Lots of near falls, and Hideo Tommy picked up the win. Good match. Good opener. Solid, solid all around.
I would agree with that 100%. They did a great job with this. Very impressed with both Breeze and Hideo. He seems to be starting to find his stride in WWE, which is what you want to see, because it's got to be difficult for him to adapt.
He's doing a whole big transition, trying to learn WWE style, try to be himself, and he's alone here right now. His family is still not here fully yet, so it's sort of like he's trying to get himself to settle, and it's a whole big transition. That's why he wants time. In NXT, and Hunter talked about it on the conference call, he needs to find his confidence, and he keeps telling him, and it's just sort of like, one day it's going to click.
Yeah. And it's starting to click.
It's starting to click. And the fans, when he gets to do the GTS, cause the fans pop every time.
Yeah.
It's gonna blow the roof off the NXT arena.
It's going to be amazing.
It won't be probably for a while until he wins a big match. Maybe a title shot or whatever. Wins the belt or gets the title shot. But it's going to, when he hits it, it's going to be blow the roof off the Full Sail University. I'm just throwing that out there.
Oh, I agree with that 100%. Absolutely. It's going to be awesome.
Now, what wasn't awesome? I hate to say this, but Bull Dempsey versus Baron Corbin was, ODQ, was not very good.
They did their best with it. It definitely exposed both of them in terms of their weaknesses. Baron's got some work he's got to do.
He sold a lot of the match, and maybe that's not the best for him, but he sold some. That's a step in the right direction away from the 30-second matches, but he needs more experience doing longer matches. And he needs better opponents. Like, Neville was good for him. Bull Dempsey was not.
Yeah. I can't get into Bull.
There's something about Bull where it's like he's not connecting with everybody right now. And it's sort of just... I don't know what you do with him. He's a fine guy, whatever. But he's not... There's something missing. And for Baron Corbin, always wear the jacket to the ring.
But he's got new merch. He's got to, sell it.
Did he look intimidating in the t-shirt?
Kind of.
No, he didn't. Don't even lie. You're just trying to put over his t-shirt.
Actually, I'm trying to put him over, but...
But, he needs to wear a jacket that actually adds to his presence. The t-shirt did him no favors.
No.
He looked more normal than he should have. But he needs a lot of work longer matches with different types of opponents, and hopefully that's coming, because hopefully this feud is over. They teased the chair spot, and it was alright, but a little sloppy. The finish was impressive. The finish was impressive because it was sloppy, but he was able to hold him up, so he has some strength. But end of days, Baron Corbin wins, but it wasn't much to write home about.
Yeah, I mean, this was just kind of eh. Which, on a spectacular show.
But then again, we gotta remember, developmental.
Yes, developmental, but even on developmental level, they still put on a good show.
They do, but again, we have high standards, so I've got to remember this is developmental too, so.
Yeah.
There's that whole thing. Okay. Then we have the NXT Tag Team title match, the Lucha Dragons versus Wesley Blake and Buddy Murphy, who are now the Dubstep Dragons, was it?
Dubstep Cowboys.
Dubstep Cowboys. God, that's an awful name.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like this match. I had issues. Sin Cara looked off. Kalisto hit a nice move, and then the announcer like buried him after that nice move because he didn't go for the pin when he should have. Like, the psychology to me, the match was off. They did this whole pin situation back and forth. Like, it was this singles. They were working a singles match in a tag match with the back and forth pins where it doesn't work in a tag situation to me, because it's like the partner should come in and break it right up. But they didn't. It just, the match felt really off to me, and it just, I don't know, I wasn't a fan of this match. Murphy and Blake retained the belts, but I just wasn't a fan. What about you?
This was okay. I mean, there was some really good back and forth. There were some really great spots in this one. You can definitely see that Murphy and Blake have some work to do, but the potential is there.
They have the talent, they just need the experience.
Yeah, and I'd like to see them actually against maybe a more slowed down tag team, if that makes sense, or a slower tag team, because the Lucha Dragons are very fast.
And even then, they, like, Sin Cara looked off last night.
Well, it's Sin Cara.
Well, this is the second Sin Cara. He's supposed to be better than the first Sin Cara.
Yeah, but even he has bad days.
I think he had a bad day last night. The match seemed off. He seemed a little step slower than usual, and it just sort of didn't mesh, at least to me, it didn't mesh well. But that's me being overcritical of the match.
It was a good match, but it wasn't a great, great match.
It was missing something.
Just a little bit. And I'm sure as time goes on, they'll get better and their matches will be great.
Here's to hoping with that, but to me, I wasn't impressed. But then we got into the real show. Three straight main events. That's what I'm calling them, three straight main events. Let's talk about it. Finn Balor, Adrian Neville, just go.
Holy shit, this match. Balor's entrance is nothing short of epic. Seeing it a second time with the full makeup and everything, yeah. Yeah. I can see that on a grander stage, and it's going to be amazing when he does it. If they let him do it, please God let him take that up, because the crowd was so into it when he was doing it. But this match was slow to start, but it was really, really, really good. They did some great spots. It was basically the battle for the top turnbuckle between these two.
Yeah, it was.
And it's always a pleasure to watch two guys who know each other, who've known each other for years, who are familiar with each other, get in a ring and work each other, because the match there's just that little added special quality to it when they've known each other, they've worked each other before. There's a familiarity to it.
Was this the match where they dropped? This was the match where they dropped through, kicked through the guardrail, right?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a nice spot. Nice teases on the outside as well. I thought this was a really, really good match. One of the matches tonight. One of the main events of the show. Like, he kicked out of a double foot stomp at one point.
Yeah.
Which was really, really impressive and nice. Like, they built to the near falls. I thought this match overall, really, really good. They kicked it in the gear. And again, we got the face paint. It's the demon inside Finn Balor.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people were complaining because it wasn't very different, but he's very limited in terms of what he can do with his face paint now, because he just can't, you know, do Carnage or Venom or the Joker or whomever now.
No, he's building an inner personality called the Demon. They're developing that as a thing, apparently.
Which is pretty badass.
Yeah. I would agree with that. It didn't seem as special, but it was still pretty cool. I will say that. It wasn't as special, but it was really, really cool. That I will say. But in the end, Finn Balor is your number one contender.
He is, which was shocking, but it wasn't. I'm happy to see Balor as number one contender. Very, very, very curious when we get to the title match to see what happens between Finn and, well, the person we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
Spoiler
coming up. We're talking about
not that, you know, we could spoil it, but there might be some people who haven't seen it yet.
They may just be listening to our review and not actually seeing the show.
Go watch it.
It's awesome. WWE Network. $9.99, free for the month, new subscribers.
Ding.
Then, a really entertaining second main event. Fatal 4-Way, the women of NXT.
Oh my god, this match made me so happy.
Charlotte, Bayley, Becky Lynch, Sasha Banks, go.
To everybody says that girls can't wrestle, girls can't kick ass, go watch this match. This was such a pleasure to see. They went out there, and I told Rock when we were watching it that they were going to have a tough act to follow because they had to go out right after Balor and Neville, who just tore it down. And, you know, after they had to go out and really top that. And I don't know if they topped it, but they were on that same level where they at least equaled it. Because they went out there, they beat the crap out of each other, they were doing dives. Charlotte threw herself over the top rope onto everybody at one point. They were just beating the ever, you know, high holy crap out of each other. This was a wonderful, wonderful match with some really great storytelling in it. You had stuff between between Sasha and Becky. You had stuff between Bayley and Charlotte. Stuff between...
Hold on. The belly to belly off the top rope.
That was sick.
Yeah.
What about the stomp from the top turnbuckle onto both Charlotte and Becky in the corner?
Ooh, I've seen the gifs of that. That was awesome.
That was pretty badass. Yeah, this was a really, really great match. Such a wonderful pleasure to watch. Kudos to every lady involved in this. If this is the future of women's professional wrestling, I am on board. Completely sold on it. Because this was what I've been waiting to see for such a long time. This takes you back to really the golden age of the women's division in WWE, when they actually got to have real matches and it wasn't just BS. They got time, they got to go out there and perform on such a high level, and it was great.
I'm gonna say this. I think it's gonna be even better because they've got more time on these shows than a lot of the famous matches and women did back in the Attitude Era.
Absolutely.
They're getting more time, more exposure, and they're gonna be, when they transition into this style on WWE television, we're in for a treat.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
In a surprising move to some, after she had her crosslock face on Charlotte, she then crucifix pinned Charlotte 1-2-3, Sasha Banks, your new NXT Women's Champion. That happened.
Go Sasha.
Right? I like this match. I was entertained. Was it as good as the match prior? No, but they're two dudes who've been wrestling for 10, 15 years together. This was very entertaining, very exciting. But then there's this whole Charlotte thing. Something was up with her on last night.
Yeah, I will say there was something a little concerning about how Charlotte looked. It looked like she'd lost about 10 to 15 pounds because she was just really very thin, and it almost looked very dangerously thin for her.
She's apparently been doing a lot of clean eating.
It shows.
It shows. She's lost some weight. But it shows from doing a little bit of research that it's a little bit of clean eating. That's what she's going through. Which is fine, but she looked a little skinnier. Mostly in her hips and in her face. You could really tell.
Yeah.
To me, it looks like she sent it to the main roster. I could be totally wrong, but I think she might be, and I hope. It's my one hope. It's my choice, not, you know, recommend it.
Yeah, I hope if she's doing this by her own volition and not somebody said, oh, hey, you need to lose about 15 pounds because you know you're a little heavy. No, I would hope that she chooses to do this on her own. It's just a little concerning because she looks very thin in her legs and her arms, and she doesn't look okay. And that's what's worrying, is you don't want her to lose too much.
Correct.
And get to an unhealthy weight. But yeah, and the little spot between her and Sasha at the end where it was the mutual showing of respect between the two, that I would say that's the indicator that was Charlotte's farewell. That she's on her way.
She's on her way. It's not her farewell, but she's on her way, I think.
Yeah, she's gonna come up probably.
Mania. After Mania.
After Mania. They'll probably do her like they did Paige.
I'm okay.
Bring her in the night after Mania.
I'm okay with that.
Totally okay with that.
How about this? What if she's Paige's friend?
Could be.
How about this? Think about this, ladies and gentlemen. Paige and Charlotte taking on the Bella Twins at WrestleMania. My gut tells me it's Paige and AJ versus the Bella Twins at WrestleMania, but it could be Charlotte.
I'm on board for either.
Then we get to our main event of the evening. NXT Championship. Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn. Go.
God. No, we need to call this match what it was, which was just, you know, legal murder of Sami Zayn.
That's what I've been hearing all day. Murder. Sami Zayn was murdered in this match via, and this is how I put it when I heard this, via powerbomb.
Kevin Owens killed Sami Zayn in this match. It was just a beating to remember, and it was very slow to start. The two kind of catted around with each other. They tried to, you know, kind of feel each other out. And then once they got going, oh man, did they get going. And it was just, it was like, I don't even remember all of it. I couldn't tell you half the spots that happened in it. All I know is I'm sitting there watching it going, holy crap. And then once Owen started powerbombing Zayn, that was it. Like, that was just it. Zayn was done.
The match started with a dive, and then ended with a big dive, and Sami bounced his head off the stage, went, ooh, that looked like it hurt. And that's where they started selling a head injury for him, and doctors came down, like trainers or whatever, that started checking on him. And they never kicked it into, like, third or fourth gear, which is great for this reason. There's more to come.
Yeah.
They didn't give, like, they didn't have the 5-star classic. Because they didn't need to, because this is the beginning, not the end. And the medical officials checked on him, and powerbomb after powerbomb after powerbomb.
Yeah.
I would say like 6 or 7 powerbombs. Even, maybe even more, I've lost count. And then he just sorta, the referee was like, he calls for the bell. Sami Zayn has been knocked out, KO'd by Kevin Owens. Get it? I liked the finish. I thought it was clever. I thought they did a great job with it. I thought it's different. You can't do it all the time. But if that's the character you're building, where he knocks out his opponents, we got a new badass on our hands. His name's Kevin Owens.
Yeah, this was great. It was wonderful to see Owens win. And just the emotion in his face when he won. The whole thing was so well done, so well crafted. Just bravo to everybody down in NXT for this. This was a great, great show to watch. Such a pleasure. I want more.
Right?
I need more. Because this was wonderful.
Right? We both sat here and just went, we were in awe of this match. Because we sat and watched it together. It was like, Kevin? No. Sami? No. And they just beat the crap out of each other.
Pretty much, yeah.
Three solid, really good main events. The best match was probably Neville and Balor, but the most entertaining match to me was the women's.
Yeah, the most entertaining was the women's, followed by Owens and Zayn. It was really such a pleasure for me to see matches that I had never seen before on NXT and get to kind of experience that for the first time, because I had never seen Kevin Owens, before NXT.
I've seen a handful of his matches, but I was not one to follow Ring of Honor because it was just never available here in Philadelphia, so I couldn't follow it.
Right, same here.
So, overall, really good show. It did not live up to like an R Evolution or Fatal 4-Way, but it was a really good show.
It will stand up against any show that they do, because yeah, it was that good.
Here's the telling sign. Lindsay was at 9:30 and was like, wait, they're going to the main event already?
And he's like, yeah, it's 9:30. It's like, oh, holy crap. Like, it just flew by.
Yeah. That's what their shows do. They fly by. Really quickly, because we're going to head to break. We all had Corbin. By all, including the 8-Ball. The 8-Ball got Sasha Banks right. I had Charlotte. She had Bayley. We all had Balor. Murphy and Blake, me and Lindsay had... The 8-Ball had Lucha Dragons, and we all had Owens. So we all went 4-1. We will top the 8-Ball next time.
We're going to try.
It's going to become a regular thing.
We're going to try. Sorry, I say we take our second and final break of the evening, and when we come back, we've got discussions, we've got SmackDown, we've got Tweet of the Week, and more. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
The first award was crowd participation. Your choices were... Fandangoing, yes, let's go Cena, Cena sucks, and what's up? Sub, what's your pick?
I think I picked Cena sucks.
No, you didn't.
What was it? You're great.
Great. I love these picks.
Sub, you picked yes, yes, yes.
Oh, yeah, Daniel O'Brien, of course.
Yeah!
Why didn't I hear that? You didn't say that.
Yes, I did.
Yes, yes, yes.
And that was the one that won. Got that right.
Sure. Holy shit.
But because you changed your pick...
No, I didn't hear the option of Daniel O'Brien yet. The guy's magical. He's a magical little guy.
The LOL moment of the year. Your choices were the Great Khali and Jinder Mahal try to snake charm Santino's Cobra.
You know, when you say it like that, that sounds so wrong.
I know. So
I'm going to say I went with the first one where they try to tame the Cobra.
No, you didn't.
What did he say?
He said he took the snake charmer. No. No.
Well, see, that's what I figured I would go with.
That's what Rob picked. You picked Titus O'Neil throwing up. You were wrong. It was the Rock concert.
Jesus, I was way off there.
Insult of the year, Sub.
Fuck, I have no idea what I went with. I'm going to go with the Big Show and Stephanie.
Congratulations, you picked the winning one. Today.
Yeah.
Today.
Can I trade in the ones when I like get them all off them? Can I trade two of them in for a win?
Diva of the year.
I'll go with the Funkadactyl chick. No, because I know it was AJ Lee. Do I want to win now?
Hold on.
Or do I stick to my gun?
So which one are you picking?
Funkadactyl.
All right, so you picked AJ last week. You picked the Funkadactyls this week. Ace and Crispy picked AJ. That's all wrong. Rob picked the Bella Twins, and the Bella Twins won the award.
Suck it, bitches.
When you calculate, everyone picked CB Radio and WTR. Subway, you were 500. You were 4-4. You did the best out of everybody.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Wait.
Down.
I think my mind, I think my head just exploded. I'm done. I'm
thinking something disconnected from my brain.
I ain't taking calls, so I came to kick ass tonight.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
There is only one place to go for all the latest wrestling action figure reviews, and that's Wrestling Figure Wednesday, with new episodes every Wednesday and Friday. Wrestling Figure Wednesday provides you with some of the most intricate reviews of the latest wrestling action figures from both WWE and TNA. And if that's not enough, look out for some exclusive wrestling action figure reviews that you won't see anywhere else. The only place to find these wrestling action figure reviews is at youtube.com/MBG1211.
Hey gang, this is Tara, formerly known as Victoria from WWE, and I just want to say Matt Goldberg is a genius.
Make sure you check out Wrestling Figure Wednesdays today.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
It's boots to asses time.
From the big returns.
You gotta be kidding me! I see a ghost in Jones! Jake the Snake Roberts! What on earth? I got chills out of here!
To the shocking moments.
In case you haven't figured it out yet, what I do better than anybody is adapt. Last night was plan A. Tonight, plan B. There's always a plan B.
Oh my God! Are you kidding me? Rollins down to the Dean Ambrose after he took out Reigns!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is Kane from WWE, and you're listening to The Rock on Wild Talk Radio.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. And now we're going to do Twit of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on my space until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter. Until I found Twitter, ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
What may be a first? I doubt it, but I think I still have more. She may have more than me.
Shocking.
She might. I doubt it, though.
You doubt it?
I doubt it. How many do you have? Do you know?
No.
Okay.
So, I'm just going to start reading. So, BaileyFanSite.com. How about a little flashback promo pic? Hashtag NXT TakeOver Rival. And it is in 5 days. We now look forward to the future, and it shows Sasha, Becky, Charlotte, and Bailey. Sasha replies, and she includes everybody in it. Bailey still uses the same pick, though.
I saw that.
To which Bailey replies, 'cause I'm still the same old G, you fakes. Sasha goes, I'm the only OG. All your friends have attacked you. I'm the only one who's hated you since day one. Hashtag I keeps it real.
Nice.
Stardust. If Jack White doesn't win a Grammy, these bananas turn to dust. Hashtag Grammys. To which Cesaro replies, took at Stardust WWE's bananas. Hashtag Huntington. Hashtag M. Hashtag Potassium. And Stardust goes, hashtag Swiss Diddy Kong. Bailey. Anyone want a hug? Because I'm pretty sure you guys made this happen. At WWE Shop, hashtag NXT Rival. And it shows her new shirt with a big smiley face. AJ Lee retweeted it, and Bailey goes, at WWE AJ Lee, I will happily send you a shirt via carrier pigeon. And Bailey goes, or AJ replies with, awesome, I shall keep the pigeon as well.
Keep it on the roof with CM Punk's place.
And Bailey goes, if you must, her name is Jenny, and she likes coffee. Charlotte. I should put at Mike the Miz in the figure four for thinking he made it famous. Hashtag Raw Columbus. Miz goes, get out of developmental first.
Ooh. Miz, she's on her way.
She's on her way, dude. Run.
She's going to kick your ass, Miz.
Because she can take you.
Right?
And that's all I got.
By the way, because I read one of my tweets, I'm so proud of us about the Tyler Breeze match. So proud of us. Just pointing that out.
Yeah, we kept it clean. We kept it PG.
For now. Keep it five star. Dolph Ziggler and Ryback are the cat dog of tag teams. Breaking. Joey Styles, breaking. NBC News, Brian Williams claims he was with Heyman Hustle when Heyman, a groomsman, missed my wedding. True story. Paul Heyman replied, dear Joey Styles and your groomsman, GFY. I love you, but GFY. But I love you, Joey. I'll call you back in 5 minutes. And if you don't know what, you know, GFY means, go yourself. Anyway. Not sports there. Johnny Manziel. There's no music, no booze, no drugs. This party sucks. Doctor, this is rehab. That's the point. Oh, right. Not Bill Walton. Kanye is performing a song about Kanye winning a Grammy, then cut into Kanye's performance saying Kanye should have won instead. Hashtag Grammys. Not Bill Walton. Remember when Kanye locked himself in a room doing 5 beats a day for 3 summers? This sounds like it took him 3 seconds. Noelle Foley replies to Not Sam. Not Sam tweeted, Madonna made me sad. Hashtag Grammys. She replied, Madonna made me feel weird. Her performance made me think of bestiality. Ouch. Andrew Goldstein. What's great about the Grammys is when you learn about an album for the first time when it wins Album of the Year. Hashtag Beck. Extreme Exile. That clothesline was way too stiff and wide. No pun intended, Rollins. Three Man Booth. If Natty and Naomi could settle their differences, they could probably beat the Usos and the Upper Cats. Keep it five star. Find me, quote Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt's been in the longest, loneliest game of hide and seek ever.
Well, if he would stop moving, we could find him. Just saying. It's hard to hit a moving target, Bray. Maybe you should consider staying in one place.
Our pal Mark from MJK Public Relations. Hashtag sexier magazines. McBalls. And the nude Yorker. Betty F. and White. In touch myself. Sexier magazines. Uber facts. If the Kool-Aid men were real, he'd weigh about 11,000 pounds. About as much weight as an elephant. ProWrestling.net. No, Seth Rollins is not on the NXT show right now, despite anything you might read about a selfie stick. Tyler Breeze has his own furry selfie stick.
With lights.
She's a dirty, dirty person. Puts dirty, dirty thoughts in my half of the brain.
Tyler likes to point his stick at people.
And holds it in his hand. Ever so lovingly. Anyway, Three Man Booth. There has to be a super kick class at the Performance Center. Tyler Breeze is the star, people. Keep it five star. Bull Dempsey just took off the one shirt Baron Corbin has. Keep it five star. Bull Dempsey is from Williamsburg, Brooklyn. three-man move. Charlotte, Flair's fly in jets only, baby, says Ric Flair. And finally, Kevin Owens won by knockout. Is this a video game? Hashtag Zayn versus Owens. And that's Tweet of the Week. So I didn't have that many.
No, you didn't. Very proud. And now I say we jump right into SmackDown.
Okay.
Which there isn't a lot to talk about from this show.
I'm going
to
sum it up like this. Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns wrestled for about an hour and 15 minutes. They beat the tag team division.
Yeah. Basically, this was Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan squashed the entire tag division.
Except for the Ascension, who got disqualified.
Yeah, except for the Ascension, who got disqualified.
And Big Show and Kane, because Big Show knocked out Kane.
Pretty much.
Then Big Show took the beat the fall on him. Bray Wyatt beat R-Truth. Bray Wyatt looked like he just was like, oh, he's rapping at me. Oh, okay. They're making Bray Wyatt look strong. That's all we can say about that.
Because Boo Boo's getting taker.
And the rest of the show was very forgettable because nothing really happened. Because everyone else was in Abu Dhabi. Paige and Summer had a decent match though. Bella's talked a lot. That was SmackDown. Now into a topic Lindsay wants to talk about.
Real quickly, because you know, I know it's late and...
We gotta get into it. We have to touch upon this.
We do have to touch upon this. And I wanted to talk about the rumors that are going around about the main event of WrestleMania being taken from Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns to the idea of a triple threat where it's Daniel Bryan, Roman Reigns, and Brock Lesnar. And I think some of this is them bowing to pressure from the fans.
The internet. And if you heard a discussion last week, and if you haven't, go back to RockRadioShow.com right now. Listen, we really broke into this and said the right move is to do Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar. Continue.
Yeah, because here's the thing, I know everybody's upset about Bryan not winning the Rumble. I know everybody's upset about Bryan not being in the main event of WrestleMania. Bryan's a great guy. Bryan's over. Bryan can have a run anytime he wants it. At this point, Bryan has not been factored into the Mania plans. And they waited for Bryan. Bryan didn't come back, so they went ahead with Roman and Brock. And they've been pointing Roman at this ever since the breakup of the Shield, which we said earlier. And it feels unfair to Roman, who's honestly been busting his butt. And I'm not saying that Daniel Bryan hasn't, but it just feels unfair to Roman, who essentially took Bryan's place when Bryan went out, to have his spotlight diminished because Daniel Bryan came back and all of us acted like a bunch of a-holes.
Yeah. I just don't think it's the right move. I think going to the well for a triple threat match, while the match will probably be alright, you're not helping either man in that situation because neither man is going to get over the way they could if it was just a one-on-one match.
You can't shine as much in a triple threat as you can as in one-on-one. And the thing is Bryan and Roman would both be hurt in a triple threat. It wouldn't be a lot, but it would hurt them, especially since that now gives them the opportunity, if you're going to have Roman win the title, to pin Bryan versus Brock.
They're hurting them right now, building up to it, because you don't know whether Roman's face, whether Roman's heel. Tonight he was babyface with Daniel Bryan. But it's becoming an issue where they're not sure who he is or what he is, and we discussed what we would do with him last week. And it's just, it gives Brock Lesnar the out from not taking the loss, and, you know, Brock's leaving. As of today, he's probably leaving. If he resigns, great. But you don't want his last match to be a triple threat. I'd rather see it be a one-on-one match, and let someone slay the beast, and it would be then like, Paul Heyman coming out the next night on Raw, it took two guys to slay one beast.
Right.
And it really does nothing for either guy. So a singles match would work. At least to me. Could they change their mind back again? Yeah, they probably will. But as of this week, the plan is to go for a triple threat, and I don't know. I hope that rumor is changed and we're back to a singles match. Because that's, to me, the better match.
I would agree with that. honestly, Roman and Brock is not going to be the best match in the world. But if they go for a fight rather than a wrestling match, in quotations, Roman, it would actually probably be better suited to Roman. Roman's more of a brawler. He's not really a wrestler, you know, in a classical sense, so fighting suits him better. Suits Brock better, too. Because that's kind of the mode that Brock is in right now. But I think putting Brian in there with Roman and Brock isn't going to really do what people think it's going to do. Especially since Brian is more of a wrestler in there with two brawlers. And it's just, it bothers me. Because it's like, you know what, they pointed Roman at this, Roman won the Rumble fair and square, and now it's like, oh well, you know, you could lose it because, well, we want to put Daniel Bryan in instead of you, and that's kind of like a big middle finger to Roman, where it's like, hey, great, thanks for everything you did, thanks for all the sacrifices, thanks for taking the acting lessons, thanks for trying to make yourself better, but you know what, we're going to go with Bryan.
LeMans goes, does anyone feel that Bryan picking up the win against Big Show is trying to make Bryan being believable to beat Lesnar, even though Reigns helped? No, it didn't do anything for him, because it wasn't a singles match.
Yeah. If Bryan beat Big Show one-on-one, no assist, then yeah, that puts Bryan up for potentially beating Lesnar. But I mean, and the other side of this is it's like, Bryan really hasn't done anything since his return to earn a place in the title match of WrestleMania. That's the downside out of it. Yes, he's a former champion. Yes, he could enter the main event anytime he wants. But in terms of you're just literally coming back off of injury and you're putting him in the title picture and he's potentially getting a match at WrestleMania. I'm sorry, didn't everybody bitch when they did that with The Rock and Batista? Doesn't everybody bitch when they do that with Cena?
Yeah. Shake my head. Yeah.
So what makes Bryan any different than them because he's Bryan? I mean, it's like, just hold Bryan off of the match of WrestleMania, let it happen, let Roman get his win, because we all know Roman's going over, they're probably going to have Rollins cash in, that'll lead to a feud between Rollins and Roman for the title, and then you have Bryan come into the title picture after Mania, and all the dust settles from that, and you give Bryan a run through the summer.
LeMans goes, if they have a triple threat match, I can see this being the finish to the match where Reigns does damage Bryan taking advantage of it. I can see Brock doing the damage to one of them and then the other taking the advantage on the other and Brock not taking the fall.
Yeah, that's the thing. This is basically the way to get Brock out of taking the fall. And how pissed is everybody going to be when Roman Reigns pins Daniel Bryan for the title?
It's not the moment. It's not that WrestleMania moment that you're looking for.
Yeah, that's not what everybody wants. Everybody thinks that Bryan's going to walk in there and win that title, and he very well could. But I don't think that's what's going to happen. I think they're going to put it on Roman because that's been the plan from the start. And again, it's you can give Bryan a good long run in the summer. He picks it up after whatever the May or the June pay-per-view is. Takes it through to Rumble. Hell, take it through to WrestleMania. I mean, you can always put the title back on Bryan because Bryan belongs in the main event. He's a perfectly credible champion. But I think it's you build Bryan back up to that.
Right, exactly. And he's going to be a focus of SmackDown going forward, so it's sort of like, he'll be fine. Daniel Bryan's going to be fine, even if he's not the champion, and he'll get his run. Just let him get back in the swing of things, and again, we said it before, we'll say it again, we'll say it for the next 40-something days. A one-on-one match is going to be better, and who's ever in there? If it's Daniel Bryan versus, if they really want to take Roman Reigns out of this main event, take him out. Don't do a triple threat.
Don't do a triple threat. It's gotta be a one-on-one, and, you know, it's unfair to Roman if they take him out, but if they don't want him in that match, take him out. And find him something else to do. But, you know, honestly, I think it should be Brock versus Roman, because that's been the plan. They had Roman win the Rumble. And then everybody shit all over it, and it's like, you know what, well, instead of seizing, you know, we're gonna seize the opportunity by putting Bryan in, because that's clearly what everybody wants. It's like, no, and I know they can't make everybody happy, and it's not going to work 100% of the time, but at the same time, it's like, just stick to your guns. If people aren't happy about Bryan being in the main event, well, then get over it.
Pretty much, yeah.
Brian will have plenty of other main events ahead of him.
It's only one day of the year.
Pretty much. So I just wanted to rant about that really quickly. Because, yeah, that was irritating.
Okay, so we done here now?
I think we're done. So you have stuff to plug, so plug away.
Check out The Rock Extra Total Divas Season 3, Episode 15 right now on rockradioshow.com. Use the hashtag Bella Baby Brand. Is that what we came up with? Bella Baby Brand?
Yes, hashtag Bella Baby Brand. Say that three times fast.
Bella Baby Brand. Bella Baby Brand. Bella Baby. Yeah, see? Can't do it.
See?
Can't do it. We want Bella Baby Brand ideas for their baby, for Brie Bella's baby. Like, they can do, like, merch and stuff because Nikki's all concerned. Bella Baby breast pumps and Bella Baby bottles, and then maybe a Bella wine bottle just for Nikki. So send us your ideas, Bella Baby Brand, on the hashtag. Check it out, rockradioshow.com. Total Divas Rock Extra. Saturday Night Midnight Edition, CB Radio Live right here on wildtalkradio.com. Weird, wacky, unusual. Follow the show on Twitter at CB Radio WTR and facebook.com/cigarettebuttsandthebandana. Sunday at Trusted Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern. With Tim, Mace, and Omega, follow the show on Twitter at WTR, Sunday at facebook.com/RussellTalkRadio. Monday night's Raw Post at 11, 10 p.m. Eastern. And we'll be back next week for a show-stopping edition of The Rack right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Follow the show on Twitter at WTR, the_rack, facebook.com/WTRTheRack. Check me out at Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio. Now check out the new website, wildtalkradio.com, cbradiolife.com, rockradioshow.com. Get us on iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio, Wild Talk Radio Network, and Rack Radio Show. And there you go. Subscribe to the channel, WTR The Rack, on YouTube.
You can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LANSWRD. You can go to my website, psychwardendesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/LinsWard, same as the Twitter. And also, since you're checking out things, go to pwmania.com, teenasylum.com, the haven for TNA fans, and Wrestling Figure Wednesdays, youtube.com/MBG1211. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack. Don't forget, show-stopping edition next week. But until then, bye!